Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mercenary Star Podcast. We are on episode 19. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG, and we are joined by a very special guest today in this 19th episode. That's right, we are going to be covering the Hotspots Hinterlands book, because it ties very closely into the mercenary campaigns. And so we're going to take a look at it, as well as the Mercenary Kickstarter and the Mercenary box set. So all of that. And at the end, we'll have a wrap up for 2024. So there was a lot that went on. But with me today is my co-host, Billy Caldwell from Oklahoma Battletech. Billy, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It is going great. And I appreciate you joining me today. I have had the privilege of rolling some dice with you in person.
We got to play at CinderCon, I believe it was 2 years ago.
It was.
You and your sons, and had a good time.
Absolutely, absolutely. They really enjoyed it because they were playing with someone besides their dad. And so that was fantastic. But yeah, you are, dare I say, one of the leaders of the Oklahoma Battletech scene. Not that you have done that by choice, but you are heavily involved. We'll say that.
Yeah. There was just a need, and I wanted to play more Battletech. And the more games I could run, the more I could justify my pile of shame, and it just kind of built from there. And we've got a pretty great team of demo agents and even just community members now that are helping run events and have expanded to many stores all across the state. And everyone's doing a really good job. It's a pretty cool time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because of my family, I don't get to get out and play as much as I would like to, which is hardly at all. But I am thrilled Oklahoma is having such growth right now. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, Billy, share with us, what is your origin, your intro to Battletech?
So, you know, a lot of people, they started in other mecha-related, you know, animes or games and stuff like that. I went straight to Battletech. I had a friend in junior high that started telling me about this game. And he was like, yeah, there's these robots and they fight and you can do all these things with them. That was probably about 1993. It was Mike Dills. And they invited me to come play. We were playing down here in Lawton.
Awesome.
Lawton Fort Sill, so it's the adjacent to the Field Artillery Training School for the Army. And we played a Game Shack. And yeah, that's just kind of how it started.
Awesome. So diving right into the tabletop game then.
Oh yeah, straight in. About that time frame, I started with, I think it was it the fourth edition that had the plastic minis?
The third edition did.
Third edition?
Yeah, third edition.
So I started with that, and then, of course, we had the Ralparthra minis.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, all the unseen stuff, all the 2Cs,
of course.
The Marauder 2Cs, all that stuff. That,
mm-hmm. So I always love to get the Ralparthra catalog from the game stores that were here. I was living on the like northeast side of the Oklahoma City area at the time. Mm-hmm. And we had nothing close to us at all. I think there was one game store in Midwest City. And it was about a 25-minute drive in the 90s because, you know, I don't know, speed limits were not what they were now. They were like 50 all the time.
Yeah.
But we would go to Stillwater. And or we would go to that one in Midwest City and we'd get the Ralparthra catalog. And then I had one in Stillwater when I went to visit my grandparents that I would get. I remember it had a night. I don't remember what it was called. Gray Night Games or something. I don't know, something like that.
That sounds familiar. At that time, I've only gamed, there in Lawton. I never expanded past there.
Right. And we rarely played at the game store. I think I played at the game store twice in all of the 90s and early 2000s. Most of the time, we had 4 to 6 people, and we would go to our church because we had someone on staff. We'd go up on a day when there wasn't anyone up there. We put out the big 8-foot tables, spread all the maps and stuff out on them, and that's where we played. So we had enough in our own community. We didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, we were pretty spoiled. It was a little shop. The front half was retail. The middle half was the game room, had 4 or 5 tables, and then there was a computer repair shop in the back. And
oh, nice.
Next door to it was a gas station that had like a full deli with sandwiches and hot links and drinks and all that. So. And it was a dollar, I believe it was $1 a day to be able to use the tables.
That's not bad.
I got very spoiled because I pretty well started playing BattleTech from the beginning. Hexus with 3D terrain.
Oh, very nice.
They had the Battlescape, and they had, I believe it was the old Warhammer, maybe 30K cardboard buildings and that sort of stuff.
Okay.
And for line of sight, we used the little mirrors on the telescopic rod.
Oh, okay.
Check line of sight. So it was pretty neat. And that kind of formed how I wanted to do my tables, later in life.
Absolutely. I know that you are probably more heavily involved in Classic. Would that be a correct assumption?
Yeah.
Classic
jam.
The Classic tables that we have in Oklahoma, I would say I'm always arguing for Classic with some of my friends in the content creation community because they're like, with Alpha Strike, we have all the cool terrain and stuff. I'm like, you haven't seen the Classic tables in Oklahoma. So, because
the whole
we do it right.
The whole state has really stepped it up and as people have, became more creative because, a lot of us, we started with, just leftover foam or here, some have started with HeroScape for hills and stuff. And then just salvaging old packaging or, boxes, whatever. And now, years later, we've got, resin printers and FDM printers.
Oh yeah.
Especially the latest generation of printers are just insane what they can do.
I know. I'm super jealous of the one you just got, especially for making terrain. So
it is. Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's
which model is it again?
It is a Bamboo P1S.
Yes. I'm sure everyone who listens will be like, oh, yes, of course. I know somebody that has that too. It's very popular right now.
It's allowed me to like my tree hexes that I do.
Yes.
I'm able to print those now out multicolor.
So ooh. If I need
trees in them, they've already got the label for lighter heavy woods.
That's so awesome.
I don't even have to flock them if I don't want to. And I can throw them on the table. And then I've started redoing my roads. So they're going to have all the markings already printed into them. And they'll just come off the print bed ready to use.
I may need to commission you to make me a set of those for Edmund. That way, if my people at the Edmund Unplugged aren't there, I can run it. So,
yeah, totally.
We'll have to do that. But not only that, but you also do. So we have tons of Classic hex games, but we have full terrain. Is essentially what we're saying. Full terrain, but it's not the standard hex size. A lot of the people in Oklahoma go 1.75.
Most are 1.75. Some have the standard size, which is debatable kind of what that is.
Right, like 1.25-ish?
1.29-ish, somewhere in
there. Yeah, yeah.
Some of them are using self-printed Hextech or the stuff that's being sold by Gale Force 9.
Which, that stuff's awesome. I love that stuff.
And there's many other creators out there, like Cross Electric Designs does a bunch of amazing stuff, and they're a great supporter of our community. Hardware Designs,
yeah,
has been great. And while I'm shouting those people out, Fortress and Ares have both been, and Cross and Hardware, they've all done a lot for us when it comes to like charity games and supporting the communities. They've been, even though, you know, they're not here in state, they've been fantastic partners.
That's great. That's great. Yes. Obviously, Fortress is a sponsor of the channel, and open to any other sponsors out there. but yeah, they're both fantastic. I've bought things from both of them before. And yeah, it's just great to see more outlets to find BattleTech stuff, because as you probably know, in the 90s, it was really hard to find that stuff.
Yeah, even here not too long ago, that was the case too.
Yeah. Awesome. So obviously you're very involved, but how are some other ways that you're involved? Maybe even in a semi-official capacity.
Well, I'm a demo team member, of course, and we've got a fantastic group of demo agents and non-demo agents here in the state. I can't brag on them enough. They are.
How many do we have now, approximately, if you know?
Approximately between 8 and 10. Some just, you know, we all deal with life, and sometimes we just don't have the time to be as active as we would like. But
right,
there's 8 to 10.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, that's just demo team agents.
Right.
Yeah.
And not counting all the other people in the various communities that just chip in to, you know, to keep everything working.
Yeah, absolutely. So you obviously are heavily involved with that. And so we do get to have some like official run stuff whenever they have it. And so that's fantastic. Let's see. I think that about covers kind of our intro to it. We're going to talk way more about some of the Oklahoma stuff here in a little bit, but let's have a chat, shall we, about the mercenaries campaign tools that have come out. We're going to start with a quick discussion on the mercenaries box set, because it came out obviously with the Kickstarter, and it's kind of a precursor to today's topic of Hotspots Hinterlands. So I'm going to move over to the presentation.
Sounds good.
For the video. And we are going to, we're not going to go scroll through the whole Mercenaries PDF, but I am going to touch on a few things because I feel like they're important things. first of all, if you have not picked up the Mercenaries box, they should be out now, at least in Oklahoma, in several of the game shops. Any of them that have ordered stuff, I think probably, I know Games HQ has, not only does Games HQ have them, they have the limited edition ones too.
Yeah. I know at one time, Dice Addiction up in Tulsa, they did have some. I'm not sure what their current stock is. I've never been to that store. I know that there's a group there that's very active, that's led by some demo agents up there.
Absolutely. And if you don't know, I'm talking about this one right here. Ba-ba-da-ba. It's on camera for those watching the video. It's the one with the black. It's the black kind of carbon fiber look with the red chevron. It looks fantastic. Back of the box is still the same. Shows off just what's in it. Love the mechs in it, by the way. It's a great collection of minis and the vehicles for that matter. But yeah, so we're going to kind of look at the PDF for a second.
Yeah. New World and Del City, they got, some pledge stuff in as well.
Okay, great.
I'm not 100% sure about the others, but later we'll talk about all the stores we have. We're pretty blessed in this state with that many.
It's been getting great. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. But yeah, so obviously the Mercenaries box comes with 12 plastic minis, which are 8 mechs and 4 vehicles. It comes with the rule book, the primer, the record sheet booklet. It does come with 2 laminated worksheets for building your mercenary campaign. which are awesome. Let me see. I don't know if I have those
that was
right on
definitely
top.
a nice addition.
But it's essentially a mercenary contract and then a mercenary roster sheet, I think. And then, go ahead.
That took me back to the old Merc Handbook 3055.
Yeah.
Day where it would take you through that whole process of building your Merc unit and really got in down way down deep into the nuts and bolts of basically running your Merc unit as a business.
And that's where we're, you know, that is where we have come. We've come back to that. And I for one, love it. Obviously, as the show is called, I Love Mercenaries. I feel like they are the premier focal point for Battletech. Just, you know, they're always in the thick of it. There's always, I mean, obviously we go to the different houses and the clans and stuff like that, and I enjoy them as well, but man, mercenaries are just always involved. So, obviously they have punch board pieces for the battlefield support. So there's a whole bunch more tokens for the battlefield support.
Yeah, there's some really nice tokens in there. I was looking over them.
There really are. There's 99 battlefield support cards, which cover vehicles. They cover. I have yet to play with them, but I'm excited to play with the battlefield support for like vehicles and stuff in Classic.
Our because groups, we've been active with like the full vehicle rules and combined arms
nice.
For 5 or 6 years at least.
Yeah.
So we haven't done a whole lot with the vehicles, but we have been using some of the airstrikes, the bombing, artillery, that sort of stuff. And I'm interested in trying the turrets because that's
yes.
something. There's a few of the error report books that had stats for turrets in them, but really you would have to go back to maybe Battletech Compendium, I think, may have had some of the old school rules for putting together a turret. And I'm sure there's something in TAC Ops as well, but
yeah.
You just have it there on a card and you can just throw it out there. That's pretty handy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's fantastic. Like we've got the battlefield support cards for the vehicles and for the turrets and everything. It's like a cross between Alpha Strike and Classic as far as what it's providing for us. And so there's an example from the book, rule book or PDF on the screen, like I said right now. That's one of the things that I wanted to show off is that bringing that an easier way to use vehicles and turrets and infantry and stuff like that. Because it's massive in Alpha Strike. Like, right. You know, everyone in Alpha Strike uses a whole combined arms. And I always liked the idea of combined arms. It was too difficult. And then on top of that, when I had limited money to buy miniatures, I just bought mechs. I didn't buy anything else. So, as one did in the 90s, I feel like there's very few.
Yeah. I didn't buy too many vehicles. I did. One of the people or owners that ran the store back in high school, I bought like a full painted Comstar vehicle force from them. It was about 100 vehicles, just long toms, Shreks,
yeah,
Demolishers, Savannah Masters, you name it, Pattons, just all that stuff that was just painted. I think it was like $100. It was,
man,
I mean, it would still
awesome.
Be a, it'd be a deal today. It was a deal back then.
Yeah.
And I have no clue what I did with them.
There's some more examples of the kind of standard battlefield support, like strafing runs, the long tom artillery, stuff like that. Let's see.
We had we're avid supporters of Extra Life and we've ran events for many years, charity events to help raise money for that wonderful organization. And Lucas, who runs the primary group at Game HQ, he actually used the airstrikes and bombing runs and all that kind of stuff and artillery.
Yeah.
As buffs that could be purchased for donations during a grinder event, and that generated a nice little chunk of change, and it was a lot of fun. It was very chaotic.
Nice. That's awesome. That's awesome.
But it's nice to be able to have that stuff like that you can just throw in to, you know, if it's just a pickup game or say it's a campaign, you want to add some more flavor to it, something to enhance
yes.
it a little bit.
I think it's going to be a huge hit for campaign play, but I agree the ease of being able to slide it into even pickup games now. I think for especially a lot of new players who get into BattleTech, seeing it as a kind of squad-based game as opposed to, you know, they a lot of times they will look towards Alpha Strike because they feel like it's going to be a lot faster of game. And, you know, traditionally it is a lot faster. However, I think being able to still, you know, play Classic with Combined Arms, this still keeps the speed of that game pretty quick, as opposed to running full record sheets for each vehicle and infantry and stuff like that. So,
definitely a little bit of everything for everyone now, especially with
yes,
you got Alpha Strike, you still have Battle Force, you have the combat that you can play with Destiny, you have Aces coming out, Total Warfare. There's just so many different avenues that you can get into the game.
Absolutely. I'm curious about Aces for sure. I just realized it's not on my goal list for 2025, but it is actually a goal to play Destiny. And part of it is that I actually have another group that I do a bunch of TTRPG stuff with, non-BattleTech related, but we test out a whole bunch of different systems, and Destiny is on the short list. So,
nice.
Which I've played it for before, but only like once, and it didn't go very far. And so I want to play it again. But that's a goal for sure. So in this Mercenary Box set, which is an expansion, it's not necessarily a standalone box set. It doesn't come with standalone rules like a Game of Armored Combat does or the Alpha Strike box does.
Yeah, you would still need, if you had the Game of Armored Combat, you've got the basic rules in there. And of course, you
absolutely.
That adds more of the clan tech and the battle armor rules. If you want
yes,
to use,
yes. Which is also an expansion.
Yeah. But you could take, Total Warfare.
You could. If you have the books, or Commander's Edition of Alpha Strike. Mm-hmm. And I do like that the Mercenaries box set and Hinterlands are geared at both. Like, it's an expansion for both Total Warfare and Alpha Strike, so.
Yeah, Battle Mech Manual would work. Pretty good. That's a fantastic.
In fact, I would recommend that before Total Warfare to start with, if you were starting off.
That's probably right, because I tend to lean more to the Total Warfare, because we play full flavor vehicles.
Absolutely.
Battle Mech Manual would probably pair well with that, especially with having the sprinkling of the TAC Ops rules in there.
Right.
Popular ones. That.
Well, and then also, too, if you're playing with Battle Mech Manual, and then you're adding in the Mercenary Kickstart or the Mercenary, you know, expansion box, it has the rules for battlefield support. So then you can have your turrets and your tanks and your infantry and your battle armor.
Yeah.
Without having to go massively into it, because Total Warfare can be overwhelming.
Total Warfare is a fantastic book, but it's also pretty cumbersome.
Yeah. So just a quick skim through here. We've got the Chaos Campaign for Mercenaries, playing a Mercenary campaign. And we're going to see kind of this repeated but expanded on in Hotspot Hinterlands. And so we've got, you know, terminology, which I greatly appreciate that they give people new to Chaos Campaign this terminology of a unit, a force, a contract, a month, which those are the normal ones. But then track and support points, those are things that if you've never played Chaos Campaign, you're like, well, what's a track?
Right.
A single battle scenario or game session, you know, and then you've got support points, which represent funds and other assets that the player has to maintain. It's part of that, you know, micromanaging a mercenary unit.
Yep. I have a lot of experience with Chaos Campaign, all the way from Total Chaos, which was a book that takes you through the Jihad. Just a lot of fun tracks were in that, but it gave you a taste of that abstract campaign system.
Yeah.
So you could do the upgrading of the pilots and taking care of your equipment, but you didn't have to be a CPA to do it.
Right. That's the thing that I think my first experience with it was during the time which shall not be named, where we were all stuck at home. And I had gotten involved with the Wolfnet group, and they were basically doing a Chaos Campaign through Megamech with these people that were fans of their podcast and were listening all over the world. And we basically had a few of those like CPA people who were just Excel wizards, and they had it all broken down into Excel, which was really cool. But man, it was a little overwhelming for sure. So let's see. I do like that we have some things like this right here. There's a campaign flow chart where you have certain things that happen once per contract, once per month, like maintenance. You have after completing a track, and then after completing a contract. Which I just realized there's a typo. It says after contact completion, not contract.
Yeah.
If anyone at, you know, CGL is listening, check that. It's in the Mercenaries campaign. Or Mercenaries box, though, so we'll have to wait for the second printings of those.
Yeah, there's probably an errata page for that.
There probably is.
Official forms.
Probably. If not yet, then I'm sure soon. Since there's still some people that don't have their Kickstarter campaign stuff yet.
I was fortunate. I received mine probably the second or third week of July.
Yeah, you got yours really early. I got mine, it was like the last day of July. Because I then... Or no, it was the second to last day of July, because it was the day before I left for Gen Con. And so I literally just tucked it away. I opened it to make sure the stuff was in it, and I just tucked it away. So,
by the way, thank you for offering me a ride to Gen Con this year.
Oh, yes, yes.
I wasn't able to make it, but
I know.
Seth was generous enough to offer me a way to try to make it work, kind of last minute.
Yeah, I was sad that didn't work out, but it was good, you know, and I at least got to go and experience Gen Con for the first time, which was awesome. And we'll talk a little bit about that in our 2024 review, but the rest of the booklet that is in the Mercenaries box set, it has all the information you need for the tracks, for the contracts that you have. It goes into a few special rules for some things. It has random tables for, getting mechs and getting, different types of contracts and everything. So it has everything you need to get started. And it's fantastic. There's a whole bunch of stuff in it.
It's done a great job of filling that gap that's been there for quite a while, but where you start. Like if you have a demo agent local or group that's, you know, established group, then, you know, you had a way to onboard into the game. Or if, say, you were doing your community was doing like Wolfnet 350 or something like that, there was a way to onboard.
Yeah.
But if you didn't, it was kind of difficult if you were starting from scratch. But these newer products have that on ramp now that I think it'll be appreciated.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me see. I need to change that.
Lucas and I were fortunate enough to do some playtesting on the Mercs box set. We didn't realize it at the time. What we were testing. But so we got to play through some of that stuff before it came out. And
awesome.
Run it through our campaigns we had going with our local groups.
Yeah.
I really appreciate how they're doing the... How you start with scale.
Yes.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
It gives you a nice balancing mechanism. I appreciate that it's not skill adjusted, which is something our groups had been doing for quite a while, because it doesn't immediately penalize you for success.
Right.
Which I do believe later there may be some other mechanisms that help with that. Because at times I could see where they... I believe battlefield support can be used to balance maybe a force that's a little bit larger scale.
Yes, yeah, because you can spend certain support points on it. And then those battlefield support don't carry over. So you basically get to you don't have to carry them over and repair them and stuff like that. So
yeah, there's no upkeep on those.
Which is pretty awesome.
That is nice.
But yeah, let's dive into the topic for tonight, which we've already gone a little bit into, but the Hotspot Hinterlands book. Mm-hmm. Because really, this came out after some of us had, we had already gotten our Kickstarter. Obviously, I know there's still many of our friends in Europe and maybe Australia and other places that have not gotten them. I'm so sorry. I hear that it's on the way from some of the people who are overseas. However, the Hotspot Hinterlands book came out in November. I think it was November.
I believe it was November.
Yeah. And so...
I believe it was around Black Friday.
Yes, I believe it was. I believe it was. And it's a fantastic book, and it expands on what is in the Mercenary box set. So we have also too, it's probably one of the best covers of a book recently. I really like the charger on it, although we're going to talk about that later too, because there was questions about what that even had anything to do with it. So we're gonna talk about that.
All secrets are revealed inside.
That's right. All revealed inside.
Yeah, that was my first kind of thoughts too. I was like, oh, Hinterlands, old Jade Falcon OZ.
Yeah.
Charger.
A charger. Not only a charger, but actually no, it's not even a charger. It's a Hatamoto Chi, straight up.
Oh, you're right.
It's a Hatamoto Chi.
You said charger. I just went.
I did. I know. I said. Well, the Hatamoto Chi is based off the charger. So
I was talking with a friend earlier about some miniatures, and we were talking about the legendary charger.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that on the mind.
That's funny. Awesome. Again, just I love the artwork. I'm a sucker for artwork, and so, it's just fantastic within the book for sure. There's a whole lot to go through. There is a story, which I'll not be showing that at the moment, but it has some really cool artwork as well. It's by Brian Young. It's about 4 pages long. It is a good introduction to a BattleTech mercenary campaign. It sets up what you are going to do to start a campaign, meaning, in that 4-page story, it's about two people who are part of a mercenary unit. They've got two mechs, which if you're following along with the way they have it set up, you start off with two mechs, and then you start from there and then you grow from there, which is really cool. So it's pretty, pretty nice little setup. Got some, decent combat for it. But then it goes into how to use this book. And one of the things that I was super excited to see in this book was the fact that And I'm going to show this again. So if you're watching on the YouTube, you're going to see it. If you're listening to the podcast, maybe consider going to check it out on Spotify or YouTube. That way you can watch along. However, there is some of the key dates to start off with. In the year. So while Hotspot Hinterlands is focused on the Hinterlands during the Ill-Clan era, obviously, we'll go into it, has the rules for just running a mercenary outside of any kind of specific time. Specifically for the Hinterlands campaign setting that they've put in this book, they suggest reading the following books and source books. Tamar Rising, which is the first source book we got about the Hinterlands. Elements of Treason Honor by Craig A. Reed Jr. Elements of Treason Duty by Craig A. Reed Jr. Elements of Treason Opportunity by Craig A. Reed Jr. Foxtails by Brian Young and Grey Death Rising by Jason Smetzer. Those are the suggested reading so that you know the lore of the Hinterlands in the Ill-Clan era. And I was very glad that they included that in this book.
Yeah, that's something that I probably haven't done as well, and that's keeping up with the reading along with it. I used to have a massive collection of paperbacks that I eventually got rid of, but there's a lot of stuff I need to get caught up on the fiction side. I've become kind of lazy in my older age, and it's not an audio book that I can listen while driving to work or at the gym or, you know, traveling.
I understand. I enjoy the audiobooks as well. And that's one thing that I will lament for 2024 for sure.
I could have used a couple more.
Yes, 100%. So there's more. There's more here. Obviously, there's Chaos Campaign for mercenaries in general. Then there's the chaos in the Hinterlands. Talks about, you know, maybe even getting up in some, you know, big, interacting with some big names like the 21st Centauri Lancers or other units that are in the Hinterlands at this time. There's the Almatasin Hiring Hall, which is
I'm horrible at pronouncing some of these names.
So. Yeah, and it's a pretty low level hiring hall that they started, which, you know, as a longtime fan, I'm like, we've already had like six or eight other hiring halls. Like, we could use another one that's already out there rather than creating a new one, without having to use Outreach or Galatea. But
I think it works though, because, you know, you still have so much of a blackout with the HPGs that have
it's
a more
true. Network, there would be more, I think.
More localized,
right.
I think works out pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think back to Outreach and Galatea and all those as being
well,
the OGs.
Besides Outreach and Galatea, which were honestly the main two mentioned in the books, in the novels, mm-hmm. There was like eight others or six others or something like that. Yeah. In fact, one of my favorite ones is has like a whole summer mech games where it like has this like big competition. It almost like Solaris, but instead of like just, you know, mech battles, it's like, oh, there's a mech basketball and mech battle chess and, you know, other weird things to like prove skill without having to completely destroy mechs like on Solaris. And another cool thing, they're not quite in the Hinterlands, but they are in Steiner space. And in looking at them, they have gone pretty much untouched by the Blakist Crusade or the HPG. I mean, they've gone pretty untouched throughout the last 100 years. So I think they're due for a comeback.
Yeah. As much as went on through that region,
Yes.
Invasion, that's pretty
Yeah,
ridiculous.
they didn't get taken over by the Wolf Empire. They didn't get, bombarded by the Jade Falcons or the Hell's Horses. They didn't get take, you know, they didn't, again, they're not in the hinterlands, so they weren't affected by any of the other factions that have arisen in there. So it's going to be interesting to see. Again, just in the book, there's so much about the hinterlands, about certain factions, about certain planets. Yeah, I know that one of your favorite pictures, Billy, is some, poor bloody infantry riding a cow.
When I first saw that, I was like, I didn't know what to think.
Yeah, I know,
You know,
right?
there's combat going in the on in the background. There's stuff burning, and
Yeah.
then here's this dude
Riding a cow. I don't
riding
know why.
a cow bareback.
Yep. I don't
What's
know why.
funny,
With two others chasing cows.
I have some very small cows.
Do you really? Oh my
Yeah, I
gosh, that would
do.
be hilarious.
Because I have a tornado I built. I forgot to bring it to SoonerCon last year.
Oh.
I have a tornado built with floral wire and cotton, and it's got a big tea
Nice.
light in it, so it flashes, like there's power flashes. I mean, we're here in
Awesome.
Oklahoma. It's
If you
part of
don't
our
know, tornadoes is a part of our
we're in
identity.
Tornado Alley. It's a part of our lives. Living here
I
my whole
mean,
life.
we have two movies based on tornadoes, aka twisters, in Oklahoma,
It's
right?
it. Watching the weather from your porch is kind of an unofficial pastime, whether
It
you.
absolutely is. We're all also meteorologists,
Oh yeah.
junior meteorologists.
So in the tornado, there's also debris. So there's cows, there's pieces of wood and stuff. So
That's
I
awesome.
actually I could almost recreate this scene.
Oh man. Billy, that you we yeah, that would be fantastic.
That'd be a very weird diorama.
It would be, but I think it would get a lot of appreciation. So obviously the expanded part of Hotspot Hinterlands for the Chaos Campaign, for mercenaries, is that besides just how to do it, with a mercenary unit, you basically have an expanded origin story as far as like where is your mercenary unit coming from? Are they coming out of the Lyran Commonwealth? Are they coming out of Clan Jade Falcon or a pirate or just, previous work as a mercenary? You can even it even has tables to start as one of those factions. And so it's a great tool, especially for playing in the Hinterlands and the Ilklan era as well.
It's probably one of my favorite areas of the Inner Sphere right now, just because there's so many opportunities to do things in there with the leftovers of Jade Falcon and their OZ in there. You have Malthus Corporation. You have all these groups that have rose up. Some of them didn't even start as a military caste. Some of them started as, merchants or smugglers or whatever, and now
Yeah.
they have their own little coalitions and all this stuff, so it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see where things go and move forward. So.
There's multiple campaigns going on in the state right now that are here in the Tamar Rising, Hinterlands
Yeah.
kind of area.
And I also like how it kind of expands to talking about let's see, where is it at? Kind of the ways to play it. So it gives another breakdown of like terminology, reputation, how to do a simple contract as opposed to a more detailed one if you want to start there.
Then being able to negotiate the contract is neat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool.
You can do that in the Merc box as well, but just thinking about how many people have entered this game through, say, MechWarrior 4 Mercenaries, MechWarrior
Yeah.
5 Mercenaries, HBS Battletech, where you
Yeah.
have
100%.
that background, and now you can do it easier. It's more simplified version of it in the tabletop now.
Yeah, absolutely. I do love too that there are specific rules for like kind of three options for how to do it. Do a campaign, whether it's PvP, meaning like, you've got a mercenary unit and your opponent has a mercenary unit. Or PvP, but in a league setting where everyone has a mercenary unit, but there's a kind of a league that's determining where this narrative is going. And then like a GM run, so where there's kind of a GM that's playing out for maybe multiple mercenary units, or one mercenary unit, but you're, everyone's controlling different parts of it or something. I like that. I do also like that all the tables have both battle value and point value for Alpha Strike and Total Warfare.
Absolutely. I'm looking at that page right now. It's
Yes. What page is that?
14
14? Nice.
in my PDF.
Yeah.
Yeah. Master Unit List is a fantastic tool, but just having it. No, I'm sorry, not. Yeah, I guess it starts on page 14. It's just fan. It's nice to have that all in place.
Yeah. Yeah, it is pretty awesome. And I mean, honestly, I feel like it makes it way easier for people entering the game to find things without having to buy three different books. Let's see. Again, it has a lot of the same things as the Mercenaries box set. The flow chart has a whole bunch of examples for tracks, for game sessions. And then it has a lot more detailed information on time between tracks. So repairing, purchasing, salvaging, and other expenses. Oh, that was one thing too. It had better details for how to split salvage with an odd number of players. Which was awesome. 'Cause someone's going to find themselves in that situation.
Oh yeah, totally. Over the years of running the campaigns, you may have someone just had a hot streak and they threw armor critted a unit and head capped another one and maybe legged another one and they bailed out and the player side won the mission and then it's like, well, yeah, I would like to give them first pick. As a GM, I'd like to give them first pick
Sure.
because, they had a pretty amazing game.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like you still have all the costs that you got to pay for the whole unit, and it's like, okay, everyone needs to kind of get some benefit out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I just appreciate that they put it in the book so that way it there's a thing that we can point to say, no, it's in the rules.
Yeah.
You have to do it fairly. I know you've been on a hot streak, but there's a way this comes out fairly. And so I do think that's pretty awesome.
The monthly bills are coming.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's also cool 'cause you can pass on things. So like, oh, well, I don't want to take this one. I'm gonna let someone else have a chance at it. So
Yeah, most of the campaigns I've ran have been GM led, with the exception of like a statewide campaign we did last year, which I'll talk about that later.
yeah.
And I'd really like to start doing some 101 games and PvE,
Yeah.
PvP, that kind of stuff, because I would like to be able to run my own Merc unit and get some games in that way. Is one of my
Absolutely.
That would be fantastic. That doesn't happen a whole lot. I do.
Right, because you're running the games.
Like Lucas's group and Jeremiah's groups up in Oklahoma City, they do allow me to come in and guest star as Op 4.
Yeah.
So I do get to come in and just try to cause some chaos. So that's fun, but
I mean,
they'll
it's
be able
kind of the
to run.
same with being a DM for D&D or other TTRPGs. I very rarely get to be the player, right?
Right.
So,
I usually get to play quite a bit though, because I am running, usually running Op 4. Sometimes I've ran
that's true.
whole Op 4s on my own against eight players, so which got a little hectic, or running multiple tables. But yeah, to be able to concentrate and go, yeah, this is my force and paint,
Yeah.
mold its story.
Well, I think especially too with this book, if you were to start another one and do the, PvP where you get to take your own mercenary unit while someone else takes theirs, and you have kind of competing contracts and see how that goes.
Yeah, I would definitely like to do that. I've been thinking about trying to. I have to do some here locally. I'm gonna have to do some more rebuilding of the groups. Being a military town,
Yeah, it's true.
we
I
have
know
people.
you just lost Derek.
Yeah, I was gonna say a
Derek.
shout out to Derek from On the Origins.
Yep.
Yeah, we miss having him down here playing. He was
I
a good
know.
dude.
He moved to Minnesota so that he can But I know he's got a good that's where all the Wolfnet guys are. Not all, but that's where a bunch of the Wolfnet guys are, so.
He's got a lot of other gaming opportunities up there too,
He
so that's
does.
great.
He does. Some of the campaign options in the book too talks about hiring halls and different tables and modifiers for that, which is fantastic. But I love that it has options for like, oh, you want to take some battle armor instead of a mech? Perfect. Take some battle armor. You want to take a tanker? You want to take two vehicles instead of one mech? Perfect. Take two vehicles. Or if you don't want to take any battlefield support, have some extra BV. It even does have rules for starting at a higher scale. So if you want to take more than the two mechs to start with. And then again, it does have the info for Alpha Strike, which is fantastic.
I had to walk away for just a second. I was still listening though. I had a
No, you're good.
cat chewing me out because she
Yeah,
was hungry.
for sure. But yeah, so 36 was where that started. The campaign options there. But yeah, it gives you stuff on terrain placement too. Sorry, go ahead, Billy.
One thing I haven't used in my campaigns, and I'm trying to figure out what page it's on in Hinterlands. It was mentioned in the Mercs book, and that is, oh, I can't remember the name of it now, but it's things that could impact the game that were command decisions. And
Oh.
there was like a table, and it had things that could possibly negatively kind of throw a wrench in the mission. And I thought that was pretty neat because, I mean, that reflects more real life. Real life is, things not going right, or the saying about a plan not surviving contact with the enemy. And I thought that
Right.
was neat to have that option in there as well to throw in. I haven't used it yet in my local campaigns, but it's coming.
We'll find it here in a second for sure. Like after we move on, probably. But yeah, there's kind of scrolling through. Obviously, there's the stuff for if you want to play a house or a clan campaign, not even just a mercenary campaign, just a you want to be part of Clan Hell's Horses, or you want to be, somebody else. And then two, there are amazing maps in this book of the Hinterlands and how they go from like January to March of 3151, and then it goes further on. So yeah, this is good. I am excited for this book, and then not just this book, but for the ones that are come out for the other for the other areas, even though I'm less excited about those. But maybe this, the equivalent book, the hotspot books for those will get me excited.
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty good. I just need more time to really go through this book really in depth and see how I can transition my campaign. I'm running two campaigns. I have one of Carolina Comics that is Jihad era. They're in about 3071 right now.
Yeah.
And then I have the other one at Guildhall that is Tamar Rising based.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just took Tamar Rising book and started and built stories up of where they were. And then once we got the Merc box, I was like, oh, cool. This gives me the contract. So then I shifted over that, made some adjustments to the rules for repairing and all that. And then there's a few of those things that have changed a little bit when it comes to repair costs.
Yeah.
Interlands. So I need to adjust my campaign over to that now, because I want to implement all those new changes. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here that's going to be super useful. Yeah, man, just cannot say enough good things about how this is going to enable campaign play, not just for Classic, but also for Alpha Strike, because I think that Alpha Strike has definitely been the more popular for players coming from other systems. I think it's also, you know, establishing itself as popular for quick pick up and play, you know, games.
It definitely works easier for competitive play.
And competitive for sure. Yeah. But I think that, you know, this book and the Mercenary Box to a lesser degree finally kind of gives Alpha Strike the ability to play campaigns properly.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. So
you were mentioned that you could play as Hell's Horses.
Yeah.
I believe there's also a sample, like a sample force in there as well.
There is. There's like a...
It's nice, because when I decide to build a force, like, a lot of my major builds are for SoonerCon, because I'm like, okay, I got a scenario I'm running. I'm going to build a large force. Everything's going to be painted. It's going to be decaled, all that. So that's my major build, probably for winter and spring leading up to SoonerCon.
Yeah.
But I tend to go overboard, because I want options, because you don't know who's going to show up at the event and all that. So you got to have some flexibility for a 1 day event, you know, or a couple hour, you know, 3 or 4 hour event or whatever. Having an op four that's already pretty well spelled out, that has the faction, the fluff, you know, these are the units that this faction uses. This is the what they're known for, and having that already put together like that. And I go, oh, I've got those minis. I can easily put that together, get it painted.
Yeah.
And then do it for an event. And then, you know, say my mercenaries come across those Hell's Horses and, you know, get a chance to beat up on them with them. That's good. But if not, then I have that force built for later. If I just want to, pickup game, it's like, oh yeah, I've got that.
Yeah,
got that force. I'm gonna run some vehicles. Let's throw those out there.
Yeah, it's definitely lends itself, and that's one of the things that I'm having to. It's definitely one of the things that I have to overcome in painting, because I too often get that kind of like analysis paralysis of like, well, what if I don't want to use this for this force, but I want to use it for another force? Because
that's how I have so many.
Because I don't buy as many as some of you do. But I'm going to have to.
I feel like you're looking at me through the camera.
It could be you. It could be several people, you know.
There's a lot of us that are.
There are. But I being a part of the Oklahoma community and being a part of the greater BattleTech community with the content creators and stuff has got me to kind of see and understand, you know what, if I want to build it and I don't have it, or if, you know, I'm part of big enough communities that it's like, oh, I need this mech and I don't have it. Can somebody trade, or you know, would somebody sell me one, you know, kind of thing. And so there's a lot of that that goes on. And honestly, plastic is plentiful right now, which is a weird place for us as longtime fans, because it's been like so scarce for so long.
I quit playing originally in 1997, my senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got back in around 2012, and I'll later, but there was quite a few years there as early years of being a demo agent where there just wasn't hardly anything. So is used, you know, I'd go to, there was some used bookstores around Oklahoma City Metro when I lived up there. And, you know, occasionally I'd find box sets that people sold and I would buy them up. Or if the, you know, the local store, my Firebase had stuff come through, they'd let me know and I'd buy it up, and then I would just sell it back to people for the money I had in it.
Yeah.
Just to keep them in there. And then, you know, they had those original Alpha Strike Lance packs, which, you know, was kind of weird how everything went with them. But then once people started marking those down, those were keeping our communities alive, you know, for minis. And now they're everywhere. I mean, we had the essential boxes at Target.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble stuff. Like I said, we're blessed with stores throughout the state.
Seriously, it's a great time to be a BattleTech fan.
It's made me change my outlook on purchasing a little bit, because used to I hoarded stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like, you could only really get stuff if you went to Gen Con, like major stuff. And I would buy for a bunch of people, and I would buy a bunch from Ironwind Metals and that sort of thing, because it was there and you could go look at it.
Yeah.
And now I'm having to change that focus. Instead of hoarding stuff so much, it's like, if I need something, I've got like a bunch of stores I can go to. I've got two local stores that can order stuff in for me. It's pretty amazing.
And not only that, and I'm gonna briefly touch on a controversial subject within the thing of 3D printing minis. Like I said, plastic is plentiful to buy, and I have definitely bought more than my fair share of it, and I will continue to buy more than my fair share of it. But for those that maybe don't have the budget, or they're not playing in any official capacity, they're just playing with friends or something, or even, you know, if they're playing at game shops, if it's not an official tournament, or it's not a you know, it's not a demo event, like, unlike, I'm just gonna say, you know, 40K, who had a big stink about, you know, 3D printed minis, which, again, I understand. You know, most BattleTech people are going to be okay with it. If it's you trying to get into it and you can't afford minis, you know, you can do that. Or you can use the paper standees that are in the box. Or you can use pennies. You know, it, like, yeah. The BattleTech as a game has always made exception for you know, standing in mechs with something else. And I love that it invites people to play before they have the plastic, if they don't have it.
And, you know, as a demo agent, we have a set of rules we have to follow. And
absolutely.
And it's kind of changed. I set my outlook on that early on when I became, especially as I became kind of the BattleTech guy at my previous local store.
Yeah.
I had to be careful of the optics of it. It's like, okay.
Sure. 100%.
Not all my games were official events, but if you're known as the BattleTech guy.
Yes. If you're the most widely known demo agent in the state,
you show up with a whole bunch of printed mini, you know, miniature. Yeah. That's probably not going to be a good look.
No,
you're not running an official event. So
right.
I made the decision early on to go ahead and just make sure all my stuff was official.
Yes.
You know, back in the day, we really couldn't do the unseens. You know, that's eased up. So yeah, but for your tables, your events, do what you do, have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Billy. Your cat was having stuff earlier. Now my dog is rolling around in the bed behind me. So if you're watching the YouTube, you get to see corgi feet flying in the air over my shoulder.
Yeah, I can just see the feet.
Yeah, he's hanging out. He's hanging out over here.
One of my other cats, our tortoiseshell, Cheeto, she's an amazing cat. She was having zoomies and just running around, making gremlin noises and jumping on stuff, knocking it over.
Yeah. We love our animals, you know.
Oh, yeah. She was laying here. She calmed down, and she has like a cardboard box bed here on my desk. And she went to sleep for a little while and recharged to go cause havoc.
Perfect. Awesome. So, okay. So anything else that we want to say about Hotspots Hinterlands? I was trying to think.
I did find that table I was talking about.
Oh, you did? What page was it on?
The example I found was on page 82, command complications table.
Oh, right. Let's see. Page. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, while you're looking that up, it's just a 1d6 roll that's modified. Your forces are ill prepared for the dusty, sandy terrain of that day. Could affect your.
Yes, absolutely.
Just some other things to throw a wrench into things, or depending on your roll, it may not be anything.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I do love that it has things like that. And there's more than just that one table. I think there's some for each place.
In Hinterlands, it's for each place, where I think in Mercs it was more just a general table. So that's pretty neat. I'm looking forward to more of that. It definitely gives a lot of flavor.
Also, too, that's hidden in there, that Hatamoto Chi is called the Sandworm. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. It's a unique mech. So, but it is in there as something. And so that's a really cool kind of hidden thing. So
that reminded me there's an option for temporary hiring.
Yes.
With their own equipment.
Yeah. And that's, love that. Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. So there's definitely more command complication tables, but one of the things that I wanted to highlight is really what's at the end of the book, because at the end of the book, there's so many things over all the tiny little factions. There's so many things over, like the Vesper's March or Clan Hell's Horses. And then individual planets and units on those planets, which are going to make for some amazing campaigns. Cannot recommend this book enough, especially if you get the the mercenary box.
And there, I won't say the page number or the name, but later in the book, there's missions that are not just even straight up fight or straight up recon or that.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all just have to find them. There's some really missions in there. So yeah. It's nice to have stuff that's not all just, deathmatch all the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's stuff in there for we ran out of money, so let's become pirates. There's stuff in there for that.
Yeah, some mechs have hands for a reason. Other than just punching.
Yeah, for sure.
Or helping myself get up when I need like a 4 to remain standing and roll a 3.
Yeah. One of the big things that I really like is that towards the end of the book is there are full op 4 tables in there. And it's so cool. There's like a whole big one for mercenaries or pirates. And it's really big. But then there's also ones for the Lyran Commonwealth. So if you're facing against the Lyran Commonwealth, like maybe you're fighting for the Vespers March, or you're fighting for the Aliena Mercantile League. And then, you know, conversely, there's Jade Falcon opposing Force Table. There's Clan Hell's Horses opposing Force Table. So it's just so good that they have all that information. And it's all within the Elk Clan, so it's all era-specific. It's just... This is what we've been waiting for, honestly. Like, this book is what we have been waiting for, because, you know, we got Tamar Rising, we got Dominions Divided, we got... What's the other one?
Empire Alone.
Empire Alone. And we're waiting on Ill Clan's Eyes Onlys to kind of finish up the whole Inner Sphere. And so we're finally getting the sources to play in that. I feel like we've been waiting. And so, it's great. Great times indeed. Last thoughts.
I would have never imagined, you know, even before the Clan Invasion Kickstarter, we have now.
Oh, agreed.
It's, you know, we had our 40th, you know, the game had their 40th anniversary last year.
Like, yes.
There's just so much stuff.
Yeah, we'll definitely mention that here in a minute. But man, yeah, there's...
I keep getting off track a little bit.
No, you're good. I'm just like, oh yeah.
I get excited to say something and then I'm like...
Well, you know what? I think unless you have anything else to add for Hotspot Hinterlands, if you don't have Hotspot Hinterlands, pick it up at your local game shop or check out the show's sponsor, Fortress Miniatures and Games. And they can hook you up for sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's all I got on Hinterlands.
Perfect. Let's talk a little bit, because this is happening. We're recording this on January 4th. We have now completed the year. I'm not one of those people that likes to do a year in review, like when there's still like 3 weeks left of the year. So, but yeah. 2024 in BattleTech, year in review. There was a lot. First and foremost, it was the BattleTech 40th anniversary.
Yeah, I really wish I could have made it to Gen Con. I haven't been able to go since 2019 was the last time I went. There's just a lot of people I miss. You know, unfortunately, we've had a few, you know, pass away since then too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you know, those opportunities I had to maybe. And I'll go next year and I'll see those people later, and you know, as life happens.
Yep.
Someone passes away and you're like, man, I really wish I would have went ahead and went. So
yeah.
And then it being such a momentous occasion in the history of the game.
Yeah, and there was a lot. There was a lot that went on. I was super glad that I got to go, not only to be a part of that, because I've never been to Gen Con, but then just to be able to be there for just everyone excited about BattleTech because it being the 40th anniversary, and also, you know, all the mercenary stuff, you know, that we were kind of had just gotten, if you'd gotten your Kickstarter stuff, but you know, all the 40th anniversary stuff. Like I got, the dice set. Was it worth the $50 that I paid for it? I don't know, you know, but am I glad I got it? I'm still glad I got it.
I misunderstood some people that were bringing stuff back for me, and I thought they were going to be pairs of dice. So I ended up with two of those sets.
Gotcha. Well, you know, somebody will want them for sure.
Oh yeah.
Also the 40th anniversary, Operation Reunification patches, that Randall was giving out. You know, I was able to, snag a couple of those. I had a friend come with me and he gave me his that he got. And so, yeah, there's just a lot there.
Yeah. The convention itself even if you weren't there for BattleTech, it's an experience. Just the amount of people, how widespread all the events are. It can be a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, 2024 being the 40th anniversary was really cool. It was really cool. I'm glad that I've been back in it and that I got to go to Gen Con and then also meet all these content creators that I've been kind of getting to know in the background as well. So, yeah, what else? Obviously, we had SoonerCon, which is Oklahoma's kind of big con where BattleTech has its biggest presence, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest one. We've been doing that for quite a few years. SoonerCon is an organization works with charities as well, kind of like Extra Life. And when I first started helping with that, I didn't realize that. So that was kind of a neat bonus. And, you know, I have to kind of mention how I got there. So yeah. When I got back into 2012, I've been in Oklahoma City since 2007. I've raced radio control cars for 30 plus years.
That's awesome.
And I would pass by the original game HQ, and I'd occasionally buy some miniatures, just the nostalgia of it. Wasn't playing or anything. I'd went down to Wizards Asylum in Norman, and I eventually just put my name up there on the board with the number. I was like, you know, would like to play BattleTech. Never heard anything. And then like a year later, I get a call from Jonathan Amaran, who is a demo agent out of Norman. He goes, hey, I'm running a grinder. You want to play some BattleTech? So, you know, over like a couple years there, I went to some of his events and had a fantastic time. And I was like, I need more.
So yeah, absolutely.
Tried to get my roommate to play. I think I'd already bought it before then, but then I finally was like, you know what? I need more. So I conned some friends and coworkers and at my house on Thursday nights, you know, if you bring snacks and pizza and stuff, like, you can get people to show up even if they don't really want to. And then it just kind of grew from there. Started running some stuff at Game HQ. I started meeting up with other people off the official forums. Still going to Jonathan's events. Had another friend, Kenny, down here in Lawton, who was previously a demo agent, and he was running events. And then we came upon, I'd went to a couple Sooner cons, and then 2015, I helped quite a bit with running scenarios as they were kind of expanding it instead of just like boot camp and grinder into more story-driven events. So we had three different events that took place on Terra.
And three different eras.
So we had Star League versus Ameris. We had Order Blake versus Coalition. And then we have, you know, the previous year, Gen Con, I believe that they had the diorama, supposed to be the battle for Terra.
Yeah.
So we had Wolf and Falcon.
Nice.
I don't know. I guess at that time it wasn't Wolf and Falcon, was it? That was...
Would have been Wolf and Republic of the Sphere?
Would have been Wolf and Republic.
Yeah.
That was 2014 into 2015 in that area. So we worked on putting together terrain, you know, 1.75-inch hex terrain, all 3D buildings, hills, the tree hexes I'd built, all that good stuff. And went to lunch that first day, and the other demo agent sat there and go, why are you not a demo agent? You're already doing everything.
Yeah.
You might as well. So that's where it started, for like being a demo agent and running stuff and running at stores more often. And that turned into, you know, going to Gen Con for the first time that summer, 2015. I'd been a demo agent officially for like 2 weeks.
Nice.
And then we go there and they start showing the new, I guess they call it re-scene stuff.
Yeah.
Like had the Warhammer prototypes and all that. And I was like, wow, I picked a really good time to join.
Yeah, that was when they started launching the new sculpts. And And that was when I'm pretty sure I had a friend go to Gen Con. If not 2015, then 2016? When did the Battle Mech Manual come out?
That was...
It was right around there, because I had a friend...
I don't think it was out yet.
So it may have been 16 or 17 when he went.
I think it was about the time that we got the game of Armor Combat, wasn't it?
I don't remember, because
it's all kind of a blur.
Yeah. I got the... So basically, it was my friend was Gen Con. It was honestly the first year... I think I'd heard of it, but it was the first year that I'd really paid attention to it. And it was, I think, one of the first years they were going to have a bunch of new Battletech stuff there. Mm-hmm. And so they had the Battlemech Manual, and then they had a whole bunch of the laser-etched dice. And so I had my friend buy me the Battlemech Manual, a set of aluminum laser-etched Davian dice, and laser-etched Ghost Bear dice. And so now I'm also sad that I didn't get others, like Sea Fox and other stuff like that, because I love those factions. But
I think it was either 2017 or 2018.
Probably.
Because I went back 2016, and I volunteered for Catalyst. But the year that we got the Game of Armor Combat and all that.
Yeah.
I rode with my friend John, so we were able to bring a whole bunch of stuff back. We had a truck to put it.
Yeah. So obviously that was like you kind of starting the growth. Not that you're the only catalyst for growing Battletech in Oklahoma, but
there was already
people. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say that you claim that by any means, but,
and I didn't even start Oklahoma Battletech either.
Right.
John and Ogre, rest in peace, Ogre. He passed away here recently.
Mm-hmm.
But a few other people up in Tulsa actually started the Oklahoma Battletech Facebook group.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a big group.
So there's been a lot of people involved in the group that have got us to where we are today. Like Jonathan and Kevin that were running SoonerCon stuff before. As they got busier, then I started taking over doing all the planning and setting up the events and all that kind of stuff. And I don't remember at this point what year I even started doing that. It might have been 2017-ish, somewhere in there, but I've taken care of it since. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
So how many people, and this will go to the next kind of thing, the growth of the Battletech scene in Oklahoma, which will have some kind of shout outs for all the new games, the new and growing game stores in Oklahoma. But how many people did you have at SoonerCon that like signed up to play? It was a pretty good number, wasn't it?
I don't have the number right offhand. I know we have six tables that we run.
Awesome.
Over 3 days, we have a boot camp table that is kind of boot camp in our kind of staging area.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan and Brent did a fantastic job last year running that. Some other agents as well, but those two really focused on, helping the newer returning players get up to speed, because quite a few would go from that to the grinder tables.
Yeah.
We ran a King of the Hill tournament. Larry ran that. We had multiple scenarios that were run. I think at most we had, I think, four grinder tables going at one time with 8 to 10 people on each one.
Yeah.
And we usually do like a most kills competition, like
over the weekend.
Yeah. For the grinder. So that's been a fantastic tool for those events, especially when people have other things that they need to go to other events, and then they can come back and back in. I should probably do a better job of keeping track of our total. That is definitely something
okay.
I have on my list for next year.
Would you say it was 30 upwards, 30 or more?
Oh, easily.
Yeah. No, it was, the one that I got to go to was pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to it this year.
Yeah, the convention, I believe, was around, I think, 6,000 participants last year.
Yeah.
I may have my numbers a little bit off. It's been steadily growing.
It has. Well, Oklahoma as a state has been steadily growing as well, so.
Yeah, and that's 6,000. You know, that's for the whole convention because there's all kinds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a kind of a microcosm of a Gen Con or something, so.
But
Or maybe a Gen Con combined with Comic Con, I would say. It's kind of both, so.
it's definitely got some pop culture elements to it, and
Yeah, not just tabletop games, but
art shows and painting competitions.
Yeah. We do have another con in Oklahoma called Token Con. I'm curious to I'd love to see it have a presence, have us have a presence there this year. Because yeah, I just want to see it grow. So.
So in previous years, I wasn't able to last year, but I've ran stuff at Twisted Lords.
Oh yes.
John and the Tulsa crew, they run, it's now a convention up there in Tulsa. It's called Tokyo, Oklahoma now. It used to be called Tokyo,
Okay.
usually called TNT for short.
Nice.
He's ran events. Him and the groups up, the agents up there have ran quite a few events over the years up there.
Awesome.
John is expanding into another convention up there. The name escapes me at the moment, but just kind of be on the lookout. It'll be posted about on Oklahoma BattleTech,
Yeah.
Facebook and Discord.
So, and again, if you're out there and you didn't know that we had this amazing scene in Oklahoma, make sure to join the Oklahoma BattleTech Facebook group and Discord. Because yeah, we've got a solid group of players for sure, all over the state.
And the Tulsa guys up there, they also have a Northeast Oklahoma BattleTech Facebook and Discord as well.
Yeah.
Because they, being that close to Missouri and Arkansas, they kind of have some overlap with those states as well.
Yeah. Well, let's see real quick. And I know this will take some of your shout outs now, but like, let's give a quick list of the actual game shops that we have and even the ones that we've got gained this year. 'Cause we've
Okay,
had
so
like three or four new ones just this year.
most of these I've either ran events at or have been to. There's a few that are fairly new or kind of out of, you know, the ones up in Tulsa, I have not been able to go to those yet. But where it all started for me when I lived in Oklahoma City for about 14 years was Game HQ. They've been fantastic partners for the whole community.
Yep.
Great, just a great store. Lucas has a group that runs there. There's also an Alpha Strike group. It's not ran by demo agents, but there's some community members that I think they're a little bit on hiatus right now due to just life.
Oh,
But
sure.
they're running Alpha Strike like every other Saturday night at 6 p.m. at Game HQ. So
Nice.
if someone was looking to do some Alpha Strike, we do have a little bit of coverage for that. New World in Dell City. They were having some games on Sundays, but they've been carrying BattleTech stuff for a long time. The owner is a longtime BattleTech player, used to go to a bunch of conventions and play quite
Maybe
a
that
few.
is the game shop I went to in the 90s.
It's right there off of.
Because Dell City and Midwest City are right next to each other, and I may have, my memory
Right
may
off
have gotten
29.
confused. Probably, yeah. Actually,
Yeah,
that sounds
29
familiar.
15th. They've been there for, I believe, for quite a while. Quite a few of the co-owners of Game HQ are old BattleTech players as well. We've got DM Dave's down in Norman. It's a fairly new store. They have a really great
Yes.
that runs on Tuesday nights, ran by Jeremiah. Jeremiah runs some TW campaigns, and then they have some kind of one-off games. And then there's some of the other community members there that are also running, I believe, there was an Alpha Strike campaign they were running there, so there was, like I said, a little bit of coverage for both play styles. Wizards Asylum, they've had down in Norman as well. They've had BattleTech stuff for quite a while. Some of the first grinders I went to years ago were down there. I'm
Let's
not
see,
really
DM
up on
Dave's was new this year. I know Wizards has been there. I'm just kind of trying to keep track of the ones that
DM
started
Dave's
this year.
around about 2 years now, but
Is it
they moved
two?
to. They moved to a new
Well,
location.
so here's the thing. DM Dave's, no, I promise you, I think it was right at the beginning of 2024 because I was actually following him as a Patreon and did not know he was in Oklahoma. And And then all of a sudden he had a game shop in Oklahoma, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. If it wasn't the beginning of 24, it was like right at the end of 23 then.
I think it might have been at the end of 23. I seem to remember because they started in a location near Bowling Alley, and it was...
Yes. So the new one, but, you know.
The new one, yeah.
Yeah. But still, it's like a right at a year or a slightly over old, I feel like.
Yeah, roundabout, yeah. So down here in Lawton, I have Carolina Comics. Kenny ran events down there, down here years ago when he was an agent. There was a little bit of a lull in Battletech. There was another gentleman that was running some games on Wednesday nights. When I moved back down here in 2021, summer 2021, I started running events down here again. And in the last year, Guildhall has also opened up. Both of those stores carry Battletech.
Awesome.
And usually it's like try to do one campaign game on a Saturday each month at Carolina Comics as my schedule allows. And then we play most Thursday nights at Guildhall. We have Primal Nerds in Yukon. They've just moved from Mustang to Yukon into a bigger location. I have not been able to show up to that store yet. I know Lucas ran a grinder at the old store, but they do carry Battletech as well.
Yeah.
I have not been to the Tulsa stores, but I know Dice Addiction, like I mentioned earlier, they're pretty active. There's another store up around, I believe it's Broken Arrow. The name escapes me, but I know there's some Battletech that goes on up there. There's one called Top Deck in Tulsa that I believe may still have games. I'm not 100% sure. And then there was a store up in Bartlesville. Know the name right offhand, but they were also running Battletech.
Yeah.
We've got a group of players down around Ada too, which is kind of the southeast part of the state.
Awesome. And then there's a couple of new stores in Oklahoma City area that maybe don't have Battletech going yet, but you know, it's just kind of awesome that we've had that many new stores.
Edmund Unplugged also.
Yes. Edmund Unplugged. And we've played some Battletech there, and we're starting the scene up there for sure. That's one that I'm closest to, although I can still make it down to Game HQ.
I think one of the most rewarding things is seeing you have members of your community, grow a community, see those members become passionate about it and want to share it with more people and run more and play more games. And then they have an offshoot.
Yeah.
And they go to another store. Maybe it's a little closer to where they live or easier to get to work or something. And they kind of plant a group there and start it up. And that has been really neat to see. And if we've left any out, I know there's a store up in Stillwater. I don't know the name of that one because I just found out about that one recently that does have Battletech stuff as well.
Awesome.
I'm for certain there's probably quite a few more that
are not. There's the one in Mustang that's pretty new. Or Mustang Yukon.
That's Primal Nerds.
They Primal moved Nerds. Yeah.
Mustang to Yukon.
Then there's also the one in Bethany that just opened up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know that they're interested in Battletech, but they haven't started it yet. But again, this is just all to the growth of not only Oklahoma Battletech, but Battletech as a game. It's just growing everywhere.
Yeah. And being able to get the product to play with.
Yes.
It just keeps feeding it. And having good groups, you know, good groups of people that are fun to play with.
Mm-hmm. Limited
BS, just.
yes.
You know, you walk in the door, you come to the table, you try to leave life at the door and just have fun. Roll some dice.
Yeah. And then again, just being able to also, if you don't have a game shop close to you, being able to find it at Target or Barnes & Noble. Although Target may not be selling it as much anymore, but I feel like I've seen it a couple of times recently. You
know, but we're talking about, you know, stores. There's quite a few home groups that we've made contact with here and there that, because, you know, there for a while we would see stuff selling and you're like, okay, we're not seeing these people. Where are they going? And then you start talking to people because,
Yeah.
you kind of you see someone looking at BattleTech stuff, and you walk up to them and go, "Oh, you play BattleTech?" And you start strike up a
Right.
conversation, try to see, this could be potentially another player, or the guys at GameHQ, like Brian, is really good. I was in there I was in town visiting, and he was talking to someone at the counter that brought some BattleTech stuff up, and they go, "Hey, do you know Billy?" And he just started hollering across the store and pointed to me, "Go talk to him." And then that turned into a conversation about some rules they had questions about that I cleared up for them and
Awesome.
told them I would get in touch with and give them a page reference so they could, let the player know they had proof of how it
Yeah.
was supposed to work. And
No,
I'm rambling now, but
that's
it's
okay.
true.
It's okay. Yeah, it's and again, I think for those listening, or watching, it's something that, like we said, it's a perfect time to get into BattleTech. There's so many great ways to do it, and there's a lot of interest right now. I mean, the biggest shout out I think we could get in a games setting forum was at PAX Unplugged recently, where if you don't know what PAX is, it's called the Penny Arcade Expo. And the people who run the Penny Arcade Expo is Penny Arcade. And the Penny Arcade guys have had an ongoing BattleTech RPG and Alpha Strike game that's been almost weekly, if not, bi-weekly for sure, called Black Remnant. And they just launched a at PAX a Command Lance box set, like a force pack for them, and then did a live play on stage with Randall, which was great. I watched that and it was fantastic. So, BattleTech is getting out there in front of many eyeballs right now.
Yeah, and if you're looking to get into the game and you have any questions and you where any of us are around, even if you're not local, I mean, even Oklahoma BattleTech, we have some people who are not even
Yeah.
that just kind of lurk in there and watch when we post stuff. We could definitely be more active in there. Our Discord's a little bit more active, but
For sure.
if we have one of these events and you've never played, come out, come talk to us. We always have extra stuff. We'll throw you in an op
Oh,
format.
man. Yeah,
Our favorite
absolutely.
thing is to have someone walk up and go, "We've never played," and we're like, "Here's a mech, here's some dice. We're going to teach you."
Yeah, so like the games at Edmund Unplugged that we just started up, the gentleman running it
Shout
always
out to Jim.
yes, Big Jim, he always has like two or three forces with record sheets like sitting on the edge of the table for anyone to walk up and just use. Fantastic. Fantastic. And he brings all his terrain and sets it up. And so it's the full, 1.75 inch hexes with terrain. And then, like I said, on the end of the table, he posted in the Facebook group, there was, I think he had two or three forces that he had painted and, completely ready for anyone to walk up. You don't even have to have the stuff. So, and I know that there are other states and other groups and game stores that do that. And so, I just, thankfully, I can celebrate that we have that in Oklahoma too. So,
Yeah, we have our players are our biggest evangelists.
yeah.
They make it so easy. Like, I hardly have to say anything anymore. It's like a new people come to town. There's two or three people that's already engaging. Hey, how you doing? For,
Yeah.
if you have any questions here, let me. Oh yeah. No, questions are not stupid. Here, let me show you. Just it's fantastic. It makes me really proud.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's see. Anything else in 2024 before we get into our 2025 projections slash goals and then shout outs? I will say, I'll say this last part. I'm a big lore nerd. I love reading books, listening to books, reading the source books. And I'm not completely caught up. My biggest backlog is shrapnel, because a shrapnel comes out, I like to take my time and read them, and then a novel or a novella will come out, and I'll read that instead. and then I have to go back to shrapnel. So I'm like 4 or 5 behind on shrapnel. But in 2024, we got a fair amount of fiction. Unfortunately, it didn't really drive... My only lament is that it didn't really drive the narrative forward. I feel like we kind of paused when the Kickstarter happened as far as moving the timeline forward. And we've been waiting. And so I think we just finally got... in fact, a couple days ago, we just got a new book drop. But it was in the new year, so technically speaking. Finally getting to see what's going on Terra. So
my goals for like the new year coming out of 2024, I kind of got in a funk with painting a little bit for the last half. Just, I don't know, a good portion of the year there was just all fucking family and all that good stuff. And it kind of put me in a little bit of a funk for painting. And I overwhelmed myself because, like I mentioned earlier, scope creep happens a lot when I start painting. Because, like, you know, the game's not WYSIWYG, but for me it is.
Yeah.
And I put that upon myself because I love, my favorite part of all this is probably modifying mechs.
Yeah.
Building the variants to match. So when I start building a force, it scope just gets blown to bits, and
it's, you've got to have the exact variant and everything.
And then I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to repose it now as well. And I'm going to do this and do that. And then, yeah, it just gets out of hand. So I've had to kind of step back. And at the end of the year, I did a few minis. I had some backlog stuff for some friends that I wanted to do some mods and painting. And they're like one-off minis.
Yeah.
You know, and just taking those to completion so I can actually finish something. And then as I go into this new year, I've got to kind of look. I had started a generic Merc combined arms force to use for campaigns and that sort of stuff that I need to finish up. And, you know, I've had a long-standing grinder kit that I pruned some of the old sculpts out so I could, you know, update to the newest stuff. And now that the Kickstarter has been out for a while, the Merc's Kickstarter, I need to backfill that stuff I've taken out of there and get that ready for... So I'm not doing it last minute before SoonerCon.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not do it last minute anymore, Billy. You and me both. Yeah, a lot of
3 a.m., 4 a.m. night.
Oh, yeah. See, I just can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I'm too old for that.
That's right. Yeah, my goals for 2025, definitely to paint more. I have a binary right here next to me that needs to be completed. But then on top of that, I got a challenge from a group of people on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, who put out a challenge to paint in 2025, paint as many mechs as to use a single decal for each one. So I know we joked about using more than one decal earlier, but to use a single decal for each one. From, you know, one sheet of like fighting Piranha Graphics, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I'm not going to do a whole sheet worth of mechs in that one faction, but I'm determined to paint at least enough mechs for the equivalent in multiple factions. So it'll add up to be one faction, which, you know, when you look at these sheets, if you're watching the video, that's a lot of units. So... but I think I can do it. I mean, I got 10 right here, you know.
Yeah, the push that I do for SoonerCon, it usually ends up being between 50 to 70.
I mean,
part of that's because I go too far. Now, the last couple of years is, you know, we've had a fantastic team of demo agents that have, you know, we've split up some of the events and let other people have ran scenarios.
Yeah.
That's allowed me to offload some of that work.
I mean, let's be honest. If I can accomplish that, Billy, I will make a significant dent in my backlog. And when I say backlog, I mean I've painted like 2 mechs from the Clan Invasion Kickstarter.
I'm not gonna get into what I have.
No, I know. You've got way more than me. But yeah, on top of that, I want to do more games in person, which... having Jim start up at start back up at Edmund Unplugged is going to be fantastic for me. And so along with that, I also want to play more games with my sons, whether at Edmund Unplugged or at the house. And then for the channel, for Mercenary Star Podcast, I want to do more YouTube videos between podcast episodes and more short form content, like, you know, shorts or Instagram reels or whatever. Maybe not TikTok. They may or may not be around. I don't know. Also, I had problems with it during my 12 days of Mechmas. I think it was thinking I kept posting the same thing over and over again, and it stopped, like, showing my videos to people. So I had to stop it. I'm not an expert on TikTok yet, but so those are kind of my big goals. Any other goals for you, or any other big projections that you think things we're going to get in 2025?
Goals are kind of rebuilding my local. We've lost quite a few players, you know. We had some people, you know, like Derek moved away. We had some others, you know, periodically people get shipped out, you know, their stations get changed. We have some other good, you know, Jared that was down here. He moved back up to around Seattle, up in that area.
Yeah.
So
our loss is their gain, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's starting back up an old group up. So
that's awesome.
You know, it's cool to see that he's, you know, he did it before up there, but now he's reconnected with that group and going to share the love of BattleTech up there again.
Yeah.
I think mainly just kind of, you know, the holiday season slowed me way down. It's really hard to schedule anything. So coming into the new year, I'm going to be running some grinder events.
Yes.
Just because we've had people that have expressed interest in playing and maybe the timing just wasn't right. And, you know, we've invited them and, man, you know, I'm probably unique in that I only play one game because my other hobby, racing radio control cars, takes up a lot of resources and time and kind of overlaps on the same days that you're often trying to play BattleTech. So trying to pick up other games, no matter how cool some of them look, is kind of hard for me to do. But I know there's people that don't have that problem and play all the games and they try to fit it into their budget and their schedule. But maybe we can lure a couple of them away here in the new year and kind of
build our
campaigns back up. That's the goal.
Yeah.
I'm proud to see like how the Tulsa group and the Game HQ group, and the DM Dave groups, how
they're going strong,
steadily growing and strong. And now y'all have got the stuff up at Edmund Unplugged that's kicking off. And
I think, along with that, I want to start a mercenary campaign with my sons. I think they'd enjoy that because it'll actually give them, you know, a reason to play, not just a, you know, so, awesome. So let's see, 2025, do what?
I've got a massive backlog I need to work on.
Yes.
Train as well. Working on the things I mentioned earlier, I have a couple mech scale dropship projects that are kind of stalled because I get started and then other shiny project pops into my brain and jump over to that. So I need to finish my fleet of dropships. I have quite a few.
Nice.
You've seen my Overlord that I
built. Yes, I have. It looks awesome.
That was before the printer days, so that was all kit-bashed.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, let's see. Any other, like, say, 2025, I'm excited for so kind of like Tomorrow Rising and other stuff, I know, we're going to get some more Force Manuals. Force Manuals? What are we calling them now? Is it Force Manuals? The Davian and Karita that we got out at the end of 2024.
I remember right offhand. That sounds right.
Yeah. If it's not Force Manual, then it's something else. One of them is the older term, but
The older ones were handbooks.
That's right. So this is Force Manual. So Force Manual, Davian and Karita came out. We are going to get the Mercenaries Force Manual, though, which is going to be fantastic. So I'm excited to get that in 2025. Excited to get some more More plastic, obviously, but also really excited to get hopefully way more audiobooks, because I think we got two maybe in 2024. Even though we got a kind of decent steady flow of lore, whether through shrapnel or a novella or a novel, they slowed way down on their audiobooks in 2024, which was kind of sad to me. So excited to get more of that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's do some shout outs, shall we? And wrap this sucker up, because Billy, you're going to take the cake for longest Mercenary Star podcast episode.
Oh, nice.
It's good. It's good. People, I mean, that's the thing about podcasts, right? Is that we all put these on and we can paint while we listen to them.
Well, it helps that I can ramble. So,
yes, that's okay. That's okay. I can too. I can talk with the best of them. I mean, let me tell you, I was not in the same house at Gen Con as the Of Mechs and Men guys, but and I love those guys, but I've heard they kept people up the longest talking about everything and anything, so they are also ramblers, which is fantastic. So, but yeah, Billy, why don't you start off and try to quickly ramble off your shout outs there.
I will start with the demo team we have here in Oklahoma, the Catalyst demo team members that I work with. We have Lucas, Jeremiah, Jonathan, Kevin, Larry, John, Brent, Dan. They're just great to work with. It's just nice to have people you can get along with and work together on projects, and you're all kind of moving towards the same target. It's pretty great. We wouldn't have the growth without that. And we all talk together, and we hardly ever have any problems, but if we do, we discuss it, or we talk about our campaigns and talk shop, or what's a better way we could approach a story to put it on the board and all that kind of stuff. And they're just great. We also have Captain Ed of CSO is local to our state. He has been a fabulous supporter of us. Our first Oklahoma BattleTech dice were provided by him.
They look great. I have them somewhere.
Yeah, he did them in the OU and OSU. That worked out well for this, the state and the rivalry. But yeah.
Well, see, now we just need to get the Thunder colors.
Well,
because that's the unifying, right?
Yeah, Lucas did a fresh batch in 2024. We did five colors. So we'll see what we do for 2025. I'm sure we'll do another batch.
We need some blue and orange for Thunder, because like I said, that's the unifying team in Oklahoma. Everyone can root for them.
I think most people, unless they were a Supersonics fan, then
well,
But yeah, Ed has been fantastic. He's one of my favorite people in the world, and just it's been great to have him as a supporter of our community and just as a friend. Even though Derek has went on to bigger, better things, it was fantastic having him here, and he became a good friend.
Oh, don't inflate his ego that much. Bigger and better. He downgraded. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, miss gaming with him, so hopefully he's doing well. I check in with him every now and then, just make sure he's doing all right. But and I know I'm missing a whole bunch of other people, but last not least, my friend David Alford. We've been friends since at least eighth grade. We played BattleTech back in high school. We've raced radio control cars for 30 plus years, and then I drug him back into BattleTech when I got back in. So, and he comes and helps with us at SoonerCon as well. And a shout out to Ryan last year. I said that was the last one, but Ryan's not a demo agent, but he's a great partner.
Yeah.
Been really, really into helping new players, and especially at the conventions and at different grinder events. So, and there's so many other good people in our community, and there's no way I could thank all of them. But yeah,
absolutely. No, it's true. Perfect. Well, I'm gonna run down my massive list, because this is the shout outs for 2024. Okay. And I'm honestly going to miss people too, but, it was a great big year for the podcast, because I got to connect with a whole bunch of people, not just at Gen Con, but Gen Con was a major place that I got to go and connect in person, you know, give hugs, shake hands. I didn't get to roll dice with any of them really, because I was too busy, but maybe in 2025, hopefully I get to see some more of them. So, but first and foremost, the Valhalla Club and their Discord, for because they basically became kind of a hub for a lot of the BattleTech content creators. And so the Mercenary Star podcast has a booth in the Valhalla Club, kind of like, you know, on Solaris in Universe. We have a booth. We have our own section over there. So post the episodes there, talk about it there. And then we talk about, and then one of my favorite parts is being able to talk with all the other content creators in our own private chat. And so we sometimes scheme and connive on things that we do or want to do together. So, then there's of Mechs and Men, who are a fantastic, lore focused podcast. They do like 5 chapters of a time at a time. I wish they did like 20 chapters at a time, because I read voraciously and I am always going too fast for them, but they have read through the Grey Death trilogy and the Warrior trilogy. And currently they are on, Wolves on the Border. No, just kidding. Yes, they are on Wolves on the Border. Right? Yes, yes, that's what they're on. So that's great. Definitely check them out. Then there's Wolfnet Radio Podcast, or the Wolfnet Crew. They were the first. So obviously, I kind of, like we said, Billy, I got the Battle Mech Manual in like 2018. And had a couple friends that I was going to try to get into it. And then, you know, that bad thing happened in 2020 where we all had to stay home. And so then I never really got to connect with the Oklahoma crew because we were all stuck at home. And so I ended up searching for any podcasts out there and found the Wolfnet Radio podcast. It was one of the biggest at the time, and connected with them. And so they're awesome. On top of that, I've helped, got to be involved with them and help with them. And I helped redo their logo and the Kroll, cousins, Aaron and Andrew, they just had a big kind of their own con. They're kind of starting their own con in Minnesota called KSAG, and it's Kroll siblings. I don't know what it's like. I don't know.
I've seen it called two things.
Yes, it called, exactly. It's called two Kroll things.
Kroll Sisters of Go-Go.
Yeah.
And Kroll's siblings. I don't remember.
Oh my gosh. I don't remember either now. And I just, yeah,
I don't think that's the first one they've held. I think they've held it for
years. They've had, this was their, yes, this was their fifth year. And in fact, because it was so big, I was commissioned to make the badges for it. So if you went to KSAG and you had a badge, I made that. So let me know what you thought. I modeled them after Alpha Strike cards. One, because they're the appropriate size, and then two, because I was like, oh yeah, this is easy. Just put fields here for it. So it looked pretty awesome. So yes, Wolfnet, and then On the Origins and Armor Up, which are kind of the same thing, but kind of not, are two sides of the same coin, where they, you know, podcast that talks about the intricate details of mechs or armor, tanks and such. So, the Bungle Tech podcast, those two crazy kids, from Canada, but they're great. I'm kind of helping them with some stuff, for some other plans for 2025. And so we'll see where that comes out. TikTok BattleTech, connected with him recently, and, he's got some crazy stuff going on. that I just I could didn't have time to keep up with, but I love watching it. The PPC podcast, the Mobile HQ podcast, the Coolant Pod, Mech Bay, Tales from the Periphery, all of those are also in the Valhalla Club Discord, so you can connect with people there, and then I always listen to them as well. And I've had many of them on, and plan to have many more of them on. Mech Frog, Big Red BattleTech, and you know Tex and the Black Pants Legion, Sven. Always love his videos on YouTube. The Camo Specs crew in general, and then also kind of Bushido. Or Kevin specifically. Kevin's awesome. Got to meet him in person at Gen Con. Yeah, fantastic. And get to see, they are starting to do more online and stream. And like, I love seeing more people doing painting streams online of BattleTech. And then.
I wanted to do his paint along so bad this summer. And
yes. Yes. But like I said, he's doing streaming, and so yeah, getting to kind of follow along and do stuff with him, chat with him. And then lastly, I'm excited for Edmund Unplug to kick off and start doing more this year. So when they first opened, I realized I had like that weird, you know, 6 degrees of separation with the owner. His cousin was someone I went to high school with, and so he's a great guy, and I'm looking forward to doing more there. So, and again, there's so many people. All the people that I interact with on a daily basis on Twitter/X, on Blue Sky, on Instagram, on TikTok, YouTube. You guys are awesome. Love you guys. You have definitely helped grow my own little corner of the community. And I'm not even really trying to grow a community. I'm just trying to be here and contribute in a way. So, it's a lot of fun, but yeah. Well, Billy, I think that about does it. And we've officially gone over 2 hours. It's a record. We were talking for like 30 minutes before that too, but we didn't even count that.
Yeah. We were pre-gaming, so it was all good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the scheduling.
Oh, no worries at all. I was also tied up with all of the family stuff for Christmas and New Year, so it worked out. And then I decided to go ahead and do the 12 days of Mechmas, which has been a lot of fun. But it's also been a lot for 12 days in a row, even though it's short form. So I'm kind of ready to take a break from doing it every day. But it's been a lot of fun, and so I'm excited now that I have a better understanding of that. I can get some more stuff out similar. So, if anyone wants to reach you, where can they reach you?
Oklahoma BattleTech. I believe the short name for that should be /OKBTech. Then we're also on Discord. We do have some probably dormant threads on the official forums, but Billy Caldwell, my call sign's Faithless. My demo team call sign's Faithless. If anyone
awesome.
Has questions, if I can help someone out with some rules, if I don't know the answer to it, I know someone who will.
Yeah, and you don't have to be from Oklahoma to join the Oklahoma BattleTech group.
Yeah, more the merrier.
That's right.
As long as you don't come into our Discord trying to give away iPads.
Yeah, let's not do that. No spam.
Been a lot of that recently.
Yeah, no spam. Well, as always, thank you all for joining. Thank you for sticking around. If you listened to the entire episode or watched the entire episode, you can get all your BattleTech product needs at your, you know, if you can, get them all at your local game shop. But if you can't, check out the sponsor of the show, Fortress Miniatures and Games, the heart of your BattleTech gaming needs. Check them out. There will be a link in the show notes, and they will hook you up. So they're awesome. and do some really cool stuff. So, well, with that, I think we're going to sign off. So, Billy, thanks again.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
All right. And to all you out there, good night and God bless.
Take care.